Sabbath blessings, everybody. If you could kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this week that you've given us. We thank you for the trials and the tribulations that came that helped us to grow closer to you. It's such a blessing to see your hand move and to know that you're there for us when times are extremely trying. We thank you for the good times, too, that help us to grow closer to you as well. Thank you for answering our prayers in regards to all those that are on our prayer list, especially those that are sick and lost. We also thank you, Father, for the hedge of angels that you heard about us all week long. Thank you for keeping your son's bride safe, too, and for blessing us with opportunities to share the faith with others. Thank you for giving us a desire deep down in our hearts to draw as close to you as we possibly can, to have that perfect obedience, so that when we pray, we know that your hand will move perfectly. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins, cleansing us from unrighteousness, and may you blessing all those that help us do this work. And may you blessing them in the ways that you promised. In Jesus' name. Amen. What a week. It's been one intense week. But I don't want to get into that right now. Although I will praise the Lord that we had wonderful news that the situation with Luke will be totally gone within 3 to 6 months. And it's best to search out a natural doctor that really knows what he's doing, because the doctors, like a regular, I guess the chiropractors are the better way to go, I would think, because the chiropractors, that's what we did. We took Luke to a chiropractor last week, and it was amazing. You know, that's also the method by which the Lord allowed me to be healed with that kidney situation years ago when I thought I was having backaches. I didn't go to a natural doctor. I just went to a chiropractor, and they use nothing but natural stuff. And this guy is totally against any kind of drugs and stuff like that. So that is the answer to prayer. We wanted to know what the natural methods were, what the situation was, and how to get it prepared. Because we know that the Lord already answers the prayers sometimes. He's already answered them in His Word. So a lot of times when we're asking for things, the reason the answer doesn't come the way we expect it, because it was already answered. We just have to know where to look. All right, we're still in the last day events. Josh, do you want to go there?
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Chapter 13, I think we're still in. We're almost done with chapter 13. I uploaded the entire book. Instead of doing it one chapter at a time this week, I uploaded the remainder of the book to the server because we now have this book on the SBR Voice website in English and Spanish. Because Brother Rob has given all the copyrights to the Seventh-day Remnant Publishing Association, so we have, that's why I'd rather have the whole book on there now, because that's just easier. Because I had to put the whole thing on there anyway on the other one, so I'm going to just put it on mine too, since I already got to do it. Alright, so we're on page 179 for those of you that actually have the book. If you don't, just look to your right. We're on letter 2C. No, wait. Are we? Is that letter 2C? 1892? Is that what's highlighted?
1892. Mm-hmm.
Letter 2C.
Yep.
Yeah, because I forgot to highlight it in my book. I just had my little sticky paper next to it. All right. It says, the tyrant is seeking to oppress man's conscience, which Christ has made free. Persecution will come more definitely and decidedly upon the people of God, because the godly are seeking for uprightness and holiness, and the disobedient are in sin. We reread that because this is one of the reasons we're going through what we're going through, because we desire to please Him. It says persecution will come more definitely and decidedly upon the people of God because the godly are seeking for uprightness and holiness. And of course, the other toss of the coin is that the disobedient are in sin. The sin-loving do not choose the way and will of God, and the obedient in their character and course of action are a constant rebuke to the sinful. This is one of the reasons they get angry with us. Which, it's just basic psychology, if you want to, you know, for lack of a better word. People get angry, and that's one of the reasons, you know, back in the school days when you were a little kid, you heard the term goody two-shoes. Because everybody knows misery loves company, and everybody wants to be cool or like the rest of the people in the world, and this is one of the reasons city life is not advisable, because it kind of messes with your children in a big way. And yourself, too. You know, keeping up with the Joneses, you know. You got to keep up. And you want to have all the bells and whistles because the guy next door does. But if you're out in the middle of the country, the guy next door is so far away you can't even see what he's driving or what he's got in his windows or what kind of lawn he has or what kind of clothing he wears, kind of a thing. And because of this constant rebuke to the sinful, our lifestyle does have a tendency to anger them. And that's why way back in the day you would hear the little, you know, the situation with the goody two-shoes, making fun of them, good kids. All right, where did I leave off? I had to stop and turn the furnace off. Okay, here it is. All right, when the truth finds access to the heart, it must fight every inch of the way. Then the collision comes. Then comes the warfare. And if the heart has yielded to Jesus in obeying the commandments of God, there is a jealous contest, error rising up to condemn truth, and truth in its God-given principles setting strongly against error. This is the experience the world over. The only way in which men will be enabled to stand firm in the conflict is to be rooted and grounded in Christ. Now, because there's so many plastic Christians out there, they'll claim Christ Lord, but as soon as the slightest trial comes to them, you know, and I praise the Lord for what's been going on here in the family here, because there were some situations that went down on the way, and I was just praising His name, thinking, you know, telling Him that, you know, I always was wondering how I would react to certain situations. Because I remember when Fran, when baby Jillian got 104 temperature. Remember that day? It was so intense that she started hallucinating and she thought she had spiders all over her body. Back then, I wasn't a believer. Back then, I shook my fist at God. Remember that? I got mad and I just shook my fist at Him. Like, who do you think you are? Later on, of course, I apologized to Him, but I got so scared because what was happening to one of my kids. And in the same situation, and then we have all these other things later on in life. You got Josh, you got the situation with Courtney, you got baby Lee, and now you get Luke, and it's just, you know, these, but instead of getting angry, instead of running away from Him, I ran towards Him, you know, and we've all done that as a family. Well, most of us anyway. Some of us are having a hard time in that area. The devil's tempting us with these large trials to say, oh, forget it, Christianity is just too hard, or it's just God's not there for you kind of a thing, and stuff like that. You know, people have a tendency to think that way. You know, He's not there. He doesn't answer prayers to prove He is there. He answers prayers because He is, just because He is there, because that's why His name is I Am. That's an open rebuke to those who say He does not exist. Going on, it says, they must receive the truth as it is in Jesus. Our probation is about ended. As America, the land of religious liberty, shall unite with the papacy in forcing the consciences of men to honor the false Sabbath, the people of every nation on the globe will be led to follow her example. And man, do we see that happening now. Look at how the papacy has whittled its way into every aspect of life here in America. Word just came down the other day. A friend of mine sent me an email stating that it has now been put in writing that the Supreme Court has a majority of Catholics on it. And I had to beg to differ. I says, yeah, well, that may all be well and true, you know, on paper. But as far as I was concerned many years ago, I've been saying this in newsletters and on the air as long as I care to remember, that the Supreme Court, the Congress, and the Senate of this country have already been controlled by the Catholic Church. The only difference is, with the Supreme Court now, is there is a majority of people on the board that are not only controlled like the rest of them are by the papacy. The only difference is these are actually people that actually look at the Pope as someone worthy of worship. That's the difference. The Catholic Church controls anybody they can. But it's a lot easier for them to control someone who already believes they're a god. And whether these people want to admit that they say that they believe he's a god or not, I know they'll say, no, we don't believe that. But their actions towards these people, bowing before the Pope, kissing his hand, that's all worship, according to my Bible. If you want to look up what went down with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they just did it in front of a statue. They didn't do it in front of a man, as they do today. They bow before the Pope. They kiss his hand. It used to be they kissed the feet. That's why you got that one statue of Peter in the Vatican with his foot sticking out. That big bronze statue. And the foot has been, and it's up off the ground about 4 feet so that you don't have to bend much. And that foot has been kissed so much and touched by fingers. Some people won't kiss it, they'll just touch it. But so many people have done it over the years that the features of the toes and the toenails are gone. You look at the other foot, you can see it looks just like a regular foot with the carving, the bronze carving, or the casting. The other one is smooth. I got a picture of it on the website. It's just smooth. You just see little lines where the toes used to be. That's a lot of kisses from lips. I mean, lips aren't made out of sandpaper or rhinestone. I mean, they're just lips. So there had to be a lot of kisses. By the way, that statue of Peter was actually originally was in a pagan temple, and his name at that time was Jupiter. So that's, you know, more or less that in a nutshell. Okay, continuing, it says, the whole earth is to be lightened with the glory of God's truth. The Lord will not close up the period of probation until the warning shall be more distinctly proclaimed. And of course, this is speaking of probation on individuals. Probation has closed on the churches. We have evidence of that. We have studies on that online, both at Light Ministries or my site or SDAApostasy.org. There's all sorts of evidence to prove that. And now, yes, there are some other ministries that are coming out boldly proclaiming that to be error, but the only way they can do it is to take Ellen White and scriptures out of context, which they have done. But it's obvious. Yeah. Some have even gone so far as to say that probation has not closed on Babylon yet. Well, that's the case. Why did you leave the church you were in? Either it is or it isn't. Continuing, it says, the trumpet must give a certain sound. The law of God is to be magnified. Its claims must be presented in their true sacred character, that the people may be brought to decide it for or against the truth. Yet the work will be cut short in righteousness. The message of Christ's righteousness is to sound from one end of the world to the other. This is the glory of God, which closes the work of the third angel. You have long expected the wonderful, startling events that are to take place just prior to the coming of the Son of Man in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now I ask, are you prepared to give the trumpet a certain sound? The Lord is coming. The seeds of this earth's history are fast closing, and our work is not done. We have been waiting in anxious expectancy for the cooperation of the human agency in advancing the work. I was just reading a quote. I think I put it in the forum, too. Oh, and by the way, let me know if I start getting lagged. I'll shut the forum down, because there wasn't a lot of people on it this morning. But if it starts lagging out, I'll shut down the forum. But the message board, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, because it's on the same server. But I put a post in there, I think it was this morning or last night, where Sister White said something in regards to, we are not doing 1,000th of what we should be doing. And there's going to be a lot of people out there who are going to say, you knew this stuff and you didn't warn us? Finishing up, she says, all heaven, if I may use the expression, is impatiently waiting for men to cooperate with the divine agencies in working for the salvation of souls. We have a work to do. We have been told something the rest of the people don't know. If you got tongues, and you got lips, and you got lungs,
They said that, you know, they're falling out, but they should turn it off or something.
I am falling out?
No, everybody else is falling out.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, okay. Let me do that real quick. Give me a minute. I'm going to have to move. So. Give me 1 minute, folks. I'll shut it down. There's no way to warn the people on the message board that I'm doing that. All of a sudden, they'll just try to post something or they'll try to read something and then it'll be gone. They'll just say, come back, try again later kind of thing. But I did put a warning in the announcements, letting people know that sometimes you're going to see this board is going to be down. And it's, until we get to T1, we have no other way of doing this. All right, continuing. Letter 45. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Letter 12. Wrong page. Letter 12. August 22nd, 1892, says, as character develops, men and women will take their positions for varied circumstances brought, let me just reread this. As character develops, men and women will take their positions for varied circumstances brought to bear upon them will cause them to reveal the spirit which prompts them to action. Everyone will reveal the character of the bundle with which he is binding himself. The wheat is being bound up for the heavenly garner. The true people of God are now pulling apart, and the tares are being bound in bundles to burn. Decided positions will be taken. Satan will work with his masterly power to separate the soul from God. We hear the different voices sounding from every quarter that our attention shall be taken from the true issue in this time. The end is near, and let there not be a confusion of voices to misguide and mislead some astray. But sadly, that is what's happening here. There's a lot of spin-offs and misunderstandings, and this is one of the reasons the Lord tarries in his coming, because we're not in agreement. We're not in one accord, a lot of us. A lot of us that have left Babylon. Going on, it says, to say peace, peace to these souls who have long resisted the voice of the true shepherd, who have contended long against omnipotence, is to quiet their consciences to the sleep of death. I'm sorry. Quiet their consciences to the sleep of death. Will man in his pride forsake his own interests by cherishing thoughts or doing deeds opposed to the mind and spirit of God? God has been pleased to show me that men who ought not, who ought to know the voice of the true shepherd will be more ready to accept the voice of a stranger and follow an unsafe, forbidden path because of the stubbornness of their human nature. Before the great trouble, such as has never been since there was a nation, shall come upon the world, and you've got to hear that. Because this is what the scripture says. She says that before the great trouble, such as has never been since there was a nation, shall come upon the world. And this is our future. This is what we're looking forward to. This is what we have to prepare for. You can't just blow this off and say, I'll work on this later. You have to concentrate on getting as close to the Lord as you can and see those trials and those tribulations in life that he allows to come your way to burn the dross off as blessings. They're not... They would never make you think, oh, you know, you're not there for me, you know, you're just, a God that can't handle that, I guess. No, it's, thank you, Lord. Obviously, I needed to learn that because the days are coming when it's going to be so intense, no man can even imagine how rough it's going to be, and I need to be able to handle this trial and tribulation with faith. I need to be able to know I can trust you. And this is making you very apparent in my life. You are making me trust you more, because you do see his hand move, and it gives you the experiences. And then later on, when it gets really, really heavy, you can look back and say, look, he moved his hand then, why wouldn't he now? So going on, it says, those who have faltered and who have ignorantly led into unsafe paths will reveal this before the real vital test. The last proving comes, so that whosoever they may say will not be regarded as voicing the true shepherd. Yeah, we can probably get this next one in. Letter 30A, September 6, 1892. Says, Satan is at work from beneath to stir up the hellish powers of his confederacy against the just. He imbues human agencies with his own attributes. Efforts will be put forth by evil angels united with evil men to harass, persecute, and destroy. But the Lord God of Israel will not forsake those who trust in him. Amid the strengthening of infidelity and apostasy, amid pretended illumination, which is the blindest presumption and delusion, there will be a light shining upon God's people from the sanctuary above. The truth of God will triumph. Let me stop here for a minute because this reminds me, I don't know why, kind of like a little bit off topic here, about the miracle situation. Sister White says there's not going to be a lot of miracles in the very last few days of life's history. Main reason being is because someone else is doing the miracles too. And there's a lot of counterfeiting going on. We've already got the natural means by which to get the healings done and other things, but there'll still be some miracles. But the people that are involved in those miracles are going to have a faith that can handle it and understand what they're looking at, because most of the people out there are going to see miracles as a sign that that man's from God. Look at Benny Hinn. Look at the hundreds of thousands of people that clamber around this, even though he's not even doing any miracles. It's just all a bunch of lies. But yet they think there's miracles happening. And so they look at those miracles as proof he's got to be a man of God. But if he doesn't keep the law of God, how can he be sent by God? That's the final barometer or litmus test that we as Christians will have to use, especially have to illustrate and educate our loved ones that don't understand it, we'll have to use in the last days, because some of our loved ones who don't dig into the scriptures the way we do are going to come up to us one day and say, there's this guy that's healing people. You got to go to his church. And by the way, if this guy is healing these people, he must be a man of God, and you guys must be wrong, because he goes to church on Sunday, and you don't. And we'll have to explain to them one of the reasons why he has the ability to do the miracles, because demons are possessing the people that walk up to them, making them sick, and then when he does his hocus pocus or strange prayers, the demons step out, making them appear to be healed. And that's all the evidence that people want, because Jesus says in the last days, you know, an evil, an adulterous generation will seek after a sign, and no sign will be given them. We have the fourth commandment as our barometer. You know, because if they keep the fourth, because as we all know, 99% of the so-called Christian churches out there will keep 9 of the 10 commandments. That's why Sister White mentions the fourth commandment is the one that we can use as evidence against them to prove whether or not they're with God or not. Because they'll say, yeah, you're not supposed to kill, you're not supposed to lie, you're not supposed to commit adultery, whatever. They'll go through all 9 of the 10 commandments, and when they get to the fourth one, they'll blow that one off. So that's the one that usually, you know, does it. But still, there are some sad keepers out there, too, that are, so be wise. Isaiah 8:20. You know, to the law and the testimony, they speak not according to its words, because there's no light in them. All right, going on, it says, every individual in our world will be arrayed under one of two banners, the chosen and loyal, under the bloodstained banner of Prince Emmanuel, and all others under Satan's standard. All who are on Satan's side will unite with him in honoring the spurious Sabbath, thus paying homage to the man of sin, who exalted himself above all that is called God, and who thought to change times and laws. Of course, that's speaking of the papacy. They trample upon the laws of Jehovah and frame a law to compel all to worship the false Sabbath, the idol they have exalted. But the day of deliverance to God's people is not far distant. He who stands in defense of the truth will draw upon himself the dislike the criticism, the decided opposition of relatives and professed friends. In other words, you're going to become extremely unpopular because you want to draw on, you want to be, you know, stand in the defense of truth. You know, praise the Lord, the plagues only last, you know, they fall within a year, it says in scriptures, you know, within a day. Because it's going to be rough enough to have to deal with it for a few weeks or a few months, however long it takes. But so well worth it. You know, when you think about it, some of us may be tempted to give it all up for a lousy moment of relief. And we can't do that. Because sometimes the answer to the prayer comes right before or right after it gets extremely heavy and really hard. And really hard. I mean, look at Moses. Right before they entered into the promised land, what did he do? He finally got to him. He hit the rock. He couldn't handle all the murmuring and the attacks on his character, on the character of God. Going on, it says, he will become a subject, or, you know, those who stand in the defense of truth, will become the subject of ridicule. All opposition and persecution, whether it in its mildest or most terrible forms, is only the development of a principle that originated with the first great rebel in heaven. This work will continue as long as Satan exists. As we near the close of time, the opposing elements will work in the same lines in which they have worked in times past. Every soul will be tested. Under persecution, it will be made manifest just what banner every individual has chosen to stand under. So just because you're in a Christian family doesn't mean you're guaranteed heaven. Every individual. Jesus doesn't save groups. He saves souls. He saves individuals. It's a personal relationship with Christ. Going on, it says, while sin remains, the offense of the cross will never cease. Satan has 1,000 masked batteries which will be opened upon the loyal commandment-keeping people of God to compel them to violate conscience. The followers of Christ must expect to encounter sneers. They will be reviled. Their words and their faith will be misrepresented. Coldness and contempt may be harder to endure than martyrdom. With some persons, it would require more courage to encounter a laugh than to thrust through with a sword. Yeah, that's pretty powerful. But we must stand steadfastly for the truth. Not returning railing for railing. In other words, they start calling you names, you don't start calling them names. They start yelling, you start yelling. Kind of a thing. But contrarywise, blessing. You know? Show them a smile. Tell them you forgive them. Tell them you pray for them. Tell them that they really understood that what they were doing, they wouldn't do it, and so you'll forgive them. Parents will turn harshly against their children who accept unpopular truth. Those who conscientiously serve God will be accused of rebellion. Property that was willed to children or other relatives who believe the present truth will be given to other hands. Guardians will rob orphans and widows of their just dues. Those who depart from evil will make themselves a prey through laws enacted to compel the conscience, or thought police kind of thing. Most of what they're doing today. Men will take to themselves property to which they have no right. The words of the apostle will be verified in the near future. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:13. Now let's do this last one. It's a tiny one. To get it, so that next week we can do the big one, because next week there's a big one. And we should be able to do all that in one day. For a half hour. This one's letter 32, December 19th, 1892. It says, as we near the close of time, Satan comes down with great power, knowing that his time is short. Especially will his power be exercised upon the remnant. He will war against them and seek to divide and scatter them, that they may grow weak and be overthrown. The people of God should move understandingly and should be united in their efforts. They should be of the same mind, of the same judgment. Then their efforts will not be scattered, but will tell forcibly in the upbuilding of the cause of the present truth. Order must be observed, and there must be a union in maintaining order, or Satan will take the advantage. I saw that the enemy would come in every way possible to dishearten the people of God and perplex and trouble them, that they should move understandingly and prepare themselves for the attacks of Satan. And this is one of the reasons this morning I got notification in regards to some posts on the POGM forum, the message board. And it started to remind me of when I used to do this years ago with the message boards, and how some will come in, and I'm not saying that this person's doing this, but you just never know until you really dig in and start realizing what their agenda is. And sometimes some people will come into the forum and they'll post a bunch of huge posts, and we don't have time to look at them all, and there might be some errors in there that'll generate acceptance by others, because those who are controlling the board don't have time to deal with them, because there's just too many of them. And so I get a little bit discouraged when I look at the message board, because of the fact that that is an avenue by which the devil will work. But that's not to say I would ever shut it down. We may have to start soliciting the help of others with moderating, is all I'm saying. But at this point, I can't say for sure anybody's actually doing that yet, but I was just reminded of that in regards to something that has been happening recently. But I don't know, yay or nay, on whether that's actually what's happening now. I know that that's the method by which the devil will attack. And so please keep that in your prayer. If anybody here within earshot that is like-minded can help in moderating, let me know. But at this point, we don't need help. But in the future, we will, probably. But at this point, we don't need any help. Bonnie's doing most of it, and I'm doing around most of the technical stuff. So, anyway, be back in a minute.
Alt R, rather, twice.
Well, you got to be in there.